And welcome to the Ritz Report. I am Alex Ritz. It is Tuesday, November 9th, 2021, and it's time to get the party started. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this great Tuesday. I hope everybody's having a wonderful day out there. Thanks for joining me, taking time out of your busy day to spend some time with me and discuss the issues and have a little fun. Why not? Let's get rolling, shall we? If you want to get in touch with me, you can send me the old school emails. Wooka 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 old school. You can send me the old school emails to Ritz at RitzReport.com or check me out on the socials, Twitter and Instagram at RitzReport. I know probably many of you are not on Twitter, considering that I think I read a statistic yesterday that about 3%, or I'm sorry, 30% of the country is actually on Twitter. And those 30% are probably not in line with my political thought process. So I would think they're probably not listening to this podcast. But if you happen to be out there and you're on Twitter, check me out on Twitter. So what's happening? What is happening? I got to tell you, I'm here in New York City. And so this past Sunday was the New York City Marathon. Yay! Which I've never run, but it's always been sort of a goal of mine. Maybe next year I'll try to run it. It was actually, it felt normal in New York City for actually a couple of hours. It was actually really, really nice. Considering the nutcase place that it has been, the essentially insane asylum with the leaders who are there that it's been over the last 2 years. It was actually really, really nice to feel like the city was normal for a few hours. And then, of course, we had to go back to the insanity. You want to go out to eat. If you don't have a vaccine passport, you can't go into the restaurant. You sit outside on the street. Now, you know, it wasn't such a big deal over the summer, but now that it's getting colder, you see people sitting outside and you wonder to yourself, did they choose, you know, not to get the vaccine? And obviously that's their choice. But it's just every time you see it, it's a reminder that these politicians, de Blasio and all of these other fools, are essentially segregating society based on whether or not you have decided to get this shot. And speaking of the shot, Gavin Newsom has disappeared. Has anybody noticed that? He has disappeared. There's a website called The Defender, Children's Defender, that is reporting that he got his booster. He got a Moderna booster, apparently, after originally he had gotten the J&J shot. So he decided to do the mix and match program, which we all now know is really, really the way to go, right? We've never done this in the history, really, of any sort of vaccine or drug. We're just going to mix and match, right? We have no randomized clinical trials to show that this is safe and effective, but whatever, we're just going to do it anyway. So, you know, Gavin Newsom rolled up his arm in late October and nobody has seen him since. He was supposed to go to Scotland, to Glasgow, to, you know, hang out with the people over there and discuss the climate. what do you do when you discuss the climate? Have anybody ever sat down with your friends and you say, let's talk about the climate? Like, honestly, like Joe Biden said that he was disappointed that the Chinese hadn't shown up to discuss the climate. Like, really? Really? You honestly think that they care about the climate? They're trying to feed the people that they have in their country and keep them alive from starving to death. Not that they care so much, but that's the biggest issue that they have, is keeping the starving masses out of the cities. And the fact that they're still building power plants all over the place, really, you expected them to show up? So if China doesn't show up and India doesn't show up and all these other developing nations don't show up, does it really matter what we do, right? Does it really matter? It's just blather. Waste of time, blather. Absolute blather. But regarding these shots, I also had a discussion with a family member over the weekend where I had brought up the fact that the FDA has not approved any shots in the United States. We do not have a shot that is not under emergency use authorization. I know that the media reported back in August that we did have one that was approved by the FDA. That's not true. That is not true. They approved a legally distinct product that is owned by BioNTech in Germany, and that shot called Comirnaty is not available. If you wanted to get it in the United States, you couldn't get it. There is no shot. This is why it's maddening to me that people just, rather than argue the mandates, rather than argue all, especially all the nonsense that's coming out of the White House, rather than argue it in court, just say, listen, there are no shots that are not emergency use authorized. So you just can't do this. It just can't happen. So anyway, I had this discussion with a family member and they didn't believe me. So I had to point them to Dr. Peter McCullough, who you may or may not know, but if you Google him, you'll see he is on the forefront of discussing vaccines, vaccine injuries. He knows all about COVID. He's taken care of a number of COVID patients. But I pointed this family member to what he said about the shots, and let's listen to that.
You know, first off, it's important to understand that all the vaccines are under emergency use authorization, and the FDA, not the CDC, makes that determination. What happened on August 23rd is that Pfizer was not approved by the FDA. It got a continuation of the emergency use authorization. And then a legally distinct vaccine that's held by BioNTech, it's called Comirnaty, a German company, that got what's called a biological licensing agreement, meaning that BioNTech can move forward with that vaccine, but they have to negotiate the product label. And there's a lot of post-marketing studies they have to do on myocarditis or heart inflammation for individuals. Now, Dr. Gruber, who signed the letter to BioNTech, Comirnaty, she resigned within 7 days of signing that letter. And to this day, America does not have an approved FDA approved vaccine.
So there it is. Like, what? There's nothing else really to discuss, right? There's no, and somebody, whenever Jen Psaki too, right? So Gavin Newsom has disappeared and now Jen Psaki has disappeared after she got COVID. Where are these people? What has happened to them? I will say, if Gavin Newsom suffered an injury from getting the Moderna shot, and he does not come forward now, like, this is his opportunity as a man to stand up and say, I'm going to do the right thing. If I'm injured by this, because just like Senator Ron Johnson has said, right? Side effects from these vaccines are mild and rare until they happen to you or until they happen to somebody that you love. And when that happens, they're no longer mild and rare. They're no longer just something to be ignored. Right, because they've now impacted your life in such a way that you can't that you can't function the way that you normally would. And then I see Gavin Newsom's wife, who goes out on social media onto Twitter on November 7th, and she tweets, "quote It's funny how certain folks can't handle truth. When someone cancels something, maybe they're just in the office working. Maybe in their free time, they're at home with their family, at their kids' sporting matches, or dining out with their wife. Please stop hating and get a life." She then quickly deleted that tweet so no one would see it. But I would say to Mrs. Newsom, your husband is the governor of one of the largest states in the country. One of the largest states in the country, and he is mandating that people in his state get this shot that potentially he was now injured from. And he's mandating it not only for adults, now he's pushing it on kids. He's going to mandate it for them to go to school next year. So if he suffered an injury, don't you think perhaps he should reflect on what it is he's trying to do? I know I would do that if I had was injured by this thing, if I believed in it and then was injured by it. And Dr. Peter McCullough was not done.
So that meeting on August 23rd created a false talking point. It went all the way up through the media to the President of the United States, who basically, unfortunately, reiterated the false talking point that Pfizer was approved when in fact it's not.
When in fact it's not. And he goes on further to say the interviewer asks him, what about kids? Should kids be lining up to get this shot?
Under no circumstances, because the risks outweigh the benefits. Tracy Hogue, University of California, Davis, published, a child is much more likely to be hospitalized with myocarditis, heart damage, and inflammation due to these vaccines than taking their chances with COVID and being hospitalized with COVID. We can always treat children. It's a mild illness. Under no circumstances, vaccination for children.
Under no circumstances, vaccination for children, right? This is not some rando on the internet saying, hey, I don't think anybody should get the vaccine. This is a doctor who, you know, he's got an impeccable background. Look him up for yourself. And this is what he's saying. And the thing that's where people say, you know, how come you just won't get the shot? How come people don't believe it? It's like, how come guys like this don't end up on TV? And if they do end up on TV, it's only on certain channels. This guy would never be on CNN, never on MSNBC, never on NBC, ABC, CBS, none of them. right? This is a qualified doctor who is standing up, sounding an alarm, and he's ignored. Like all of this stuff, people would ask, how come you don't do that? Because everything that is happening around us doesn't add up. The CDC changes the definition of vaccine, the word vaccine, on their website. Does that make any sense to anybody? So we have doctors, we have the creator of the mRNA technology. Nobody will talk to him. We have some of the greatest virologists in the world that nobody will speak to. We have the CDC changing definitions of words because they don't fit with what's happening with this quote-unquote vaccine. And people think that we should just stand up and trust what's going on, and everybody should just be like, oh, yeah, everything seems on the up and up. And I've said this from the get-go. I'm going to get free food, free weed, free beer, free lap dances, free lottery tickets. It's insane. And now they're this propaganda that they're pushing the kids, where they're using Big Bird and CNN to try to get the kids to get a shot. And they're offering the parents money. Like, this is twisted. Twisted. I don't know how this whole thing shakes out in the end, but I can't imagine some of these people don't end up in jail, because what's going on here is out of control. But yeah, back to this CDC changing the definition of vaccine. This came out on November 3rd. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention altered the definition of vaccine because of the concern that its definition did not apply to COVID-19 vaccines, according to newly released internal emails. The agency updated its definition on September 1st. The definition was formerly, it was written as follows: a product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease, protecting that person from that disease. And that, I would argue, is what we've all thought a vaccine was forever. At least that's what I thought it was. You get a vaccine when you're a kid and you don't have to worry about it again. Maybe you get a booster 20 years down the road, but you don't 4 months later have to get another shot. Oh yeah, mix and match, get whatever you like. Right? So that definition, in my mind, is what it's always been, a vaccine. They changed the definition to, quote, a preparation that is used to stimulate the body's immune response against disease. Okay, so that's way different, right? That is way different than stimulating a person's immune response to produce immunity from a specific disease to a preparation that's used to stimulate an immune response. It's insane. And they wonder why nobody believes them? Alicia Downs, listed on LinkedIn as the lead health communications specialist for the CDC, messaged a colleague on August 19th saying she needed to update the definition and others like it, quote, since these definitions are outdated and they're being used by some to say that the COVID-19 vaccines are not vaccines. Because they're not vaccines. Can we just be honest about it? They're not vaccines. They're just not. They're experimental gene therapies. They've been called that by doctors who actually have the balls to say it since this whole thing started. Most of the doctors are too afraid to do what needs to be done. Right? They're cowards. Most of them are cowards. And the hospital systems are being held hostage by the federal government because of Medicare dollars. The whole thing is a disaster. And you have to ask yourself, why is it happening? Why? Why are they doing this where they want every single person in the country to get a shot? And Biden, for everything that he's involved in, I don't even think the guy knows half the time where he is.
Come on, man.
Yeah, come on, man.
We have to take care of the cure. That will make the problem worse no matter what.
Yeah.
And by the way, it costs a lot of money. It costs about $740 million dollars over 10 years.
Yeah, this is the guy. That's the guy in charge.
This is great.
Yeah. Anyway. So anyway, the mayhem that's going on in the country right now, we can feel it, right? We can feel that things are not right. We can feel that the people in charge are causing division, are stirring up anxiety, are stirring up anger, and they're doing it intentionally, is my belief. Joe Biden, while technically he is president, he's not running the show. I mean, come on, folks. Come on. So Obama was on with Stephen Colbert, I guess, I don't know, a year ago, 2 years ago. I don't even know how long ago it was. But he's on with Stephen Colbert, and he says something in an interview, and Stephen Colbert is like gushing all over him. It's actually sort of disgusting to watch. But he said something in the interview that always has in just in the back of my head, just in the back of my head. And let's take a quick listen to that.
I've said this before. People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what? If I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats, looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony. Wow. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. And I look at what's going on with the Biden presidency, and I look at the agenda that they're trying to push forward. And gosh, isn't it awfully, if you're paying attention when Obama was president, isn't it awfully similar? Doesn't it feel the same? Although this is certainly much more divisive. What they're doing is amped up to a different level, but it's the same, right? Even this infrastructure bill that they just passed. So they passed the infrastructure bill on Friday night at midnight. They got 13 Republicans to actually go along with them and pass this bill. Which is just, it makes me sick that there's 13 Republicans that turn their backs. Like, where is the GOP? Where is the GOP, right? We had Donald Trump, and they impeached the guy for a phone call, which we now, everybody knows was nonsense, right? Russia collusion for years, total lie. Total lie. Anybody who believed it was a moron at the time. But we now know factually that it was a total lie. And where's the GOP? Everything that's going on in this country, all the stuff that Joe Biden is doing and the things that are happening, the GOP is silent. Silent. Don't we have to put up some opposition? Doesn't somebody have to stand up and do something? They're like a bunch of worthless clowns. But on Friday night, 13 Republicans crossed over to support. Even the Democrats couldn't get the progressive wing on board. They couldn't get the AOCs and the Tlaibs and the Cory Bushes, they could not get them on board for this bill. So what did they do in the House? They crossed over and they got 13 Republican losers to help them and pass it. John Cato, Republican New York. Don Bacon, Republican Nebraska. Fred Upton, Republican Michigan. Adam Kinzinger, Republican Illinois. Don Young, Republican Arkansas. Tom Reed, Republican New York. Chris Smith, Republican New Jersey. Andrew Garbano, Republican New York. Nicole Malliotakis, Republican New York, Brian Fitzpatrick, Republican Pennsylvania, voted yes on the so-called bipartisan infrastructure bill. What good is it to have an opposition party if you're going to support the people that you are allegedly on the other side of the aisle from? What's the point of you being there? These people need to be primaried and removed. The GOP better wake up. Like, they feel like they're just sort of meandering through life here when they don't really realize the war that's going on. Is it that they're so dirty and in bed with China the same way that Biden is and the same way that so many people on the left are, that they don't want to get caught up in the machine and have their careers destroyed? It's unbelievable. But back to this infrastructure bill, you like look at this bill and you're like, this is the same bill that Obama passed back in 2009. So I went back and I was like searching for just some sound bites about Obama talking about his 2009 bill and comparing it to what Biden said when he came out after his stupid bill was passed. He's out there with grinning like a dumb ape. Let's listen quickly to Obama talking about his infrastructure bill and Biden talking about his, and they sound the same.
Because we know we can't build our economic future on the transportation and information networks of the past. We are remaking the American landscape with the largest new investment in our nation's infrastructure since Eisenhower built an interstate highway system in the 1950s. Because of this investment, nearly 400,000 men and women will go to work rebuilding our crumbling roads and bridges, repairing our faulty dams and levees, bringing critical broadband connections to businesses and homes, upgrading mass transit, building high-speed rail lines that will improve travel and commerce throughout our nation. Laying the groundwork for new green energy economies that can create countless well-paying jobs.
Doesn't that sound awfully familiar? Doesn't that sound awfully familiar? Because it's the same thing that they're doing now.
That long has been talked about in Washington, but never actually been done. The House of Representatives passed an Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act.
Never actually been done. Long talked about in Washington, never been done. In 2009, Barack Obama did it. So 12 years ago, we did the exact same thing we're doing now. And that's why I say when I play that Obama clip that he's behind the shadows, he's the guy behind the curtain pulling the strings on the dummy puppet that is Joe Biden. We did this same thing 12 years ago. And Obama knows that the American people, that the American people generally are reasonable, and that infrastructure, people generally agree that infrastructure is a good thing, right? That we do need roads and we do need bridges and we do need airports. But the problem is the money never goes there, right? It's always squandered on something else.
That's a fancy way of saying a bipartisan infrastructure bill, a once-in-a-generation investment that's going to create millions of jobs, modernize our infrastructure, our roads, our bridges, our broadband, a whole range of things, to turn the climate crisis into an opportunity.
Same exact thing, right? 12 years ago, Obama, blather. Today, Biden, blather. Same thing. The fact that this doesn't get more coverage, the fact that we're doing the same thing, and it looks the same as compared to 12 years ago, is frustrating. It's absolutely frustrating. And I know they take advantage of the fact that, you know, with COVID, they're trying to push through things, and they feel like if you flood the zone with as many stories as possible, people get overwhelmed and you really just can't. You can't pay attention to it all. So, and that was something that Obama did regularly back when he was president too. Just flood the zone with as much as you can. So people just can't, they're just overwhelmed. And a lot of people just tune out because they can't deal with it. And then, you know, the whole COVID thing, they're going to milk it and milk it and milk it for as much as they can. And you'll never be fully vaccinated. The NBA now is pushing players to get booster shots. All players, coaches, and referees. it's never going to stop. Unless we stop it, it is never going to stop. Unless we say enough, I am not getting any boosters. I'm not putting, thankfully, Alyssa Milano did some poll, I think, on Twitter or somewhere on the internet. I don't know if it was on Twitter or where it was. But 92% of those the people that responded said no, they do not intend to get their kids vaccinated. Her question was, do you intend to get your kids vaccinated? So 92% said no. So thank God that at least the parents out there understand, okay, there's risk associated with this shot, and I should probably take a breather here in regard to my kids and not give it to them. Because it's never going to stop, right, folks? We're on this treadmill of shots. NBA pushing COVID-19 booster shots for players, coaches, and referees. The NBA has recommended that players, coaches, and referees receive a vaccine booster in a league memo that was obtained by the Associated Press on Sunday. The memo reportedly recommended that those who had received the J&J vaccine get a Pfizer or Moderna booster. So now we have the NBA making medical recommendations. The NBA is making what shot you should get. The world has crossed over.
You are physically repulsive, intellectually retarded, vulgar, insensitive, selfish, stupid. You have no taste, a lousy sense of humor, and you smell.
Yeah.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
And the more people just allow this to happen, the more they're just going to keep doing it. The more they're going to keep doing it. I saw a piece in The Atlantic, and The Atlantic is, a fancy liberal magazine for the liberals who fancy themselves as smart. The smart set in the liberals. The lib smart set, shall we say. And this woman, the piece is called America Has Lost the Plot on COVID. America's lost the plot on COVID. I'm sure Biden would be really happy to hear her say that.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. We haven't lost the plot on COVID. I got it all figured out.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years.
Yeah.
Look, here's the lives.
Yeah.
It's just, you think about it.
Yeah, think about it.
Are you kidding me?
Anyway, this woman, Sarah Zhang, in The Atlantic, 2,100 words she goes on in this piece, just like meandering, trying to find her way. And I'd like to share some of it with you now. It's called America's Lost the Plot on COVID, and it starts thusly. We know how this ends. The coronavirus becomes endemic, and we live with it forever. But what we don't know, and what the U.S. seems to have no coherent plan for, is how we are supposed to get there. So right there, Sarah, I could stop you. Like, you don't, we don't need a bigger plan, right? The plan is, just like with any other virus, if you're sick, stay home. The older people, take care of them. Make sure they get a shot, right? Because those are the ones who seem to get some benefit from it, and they're closer to the end of life, so the risk for them is less, right? And the rest of us sort of go on with our lives. Ta-da! Done! I should be in charge of public health policy, because I just answered the question there. She can't, and she spends 2,100 words here trying to figure it out. She continues, we avoided the hard questions whose answers will determine what life looks like in the next weeks, months, and years. How do we manage the transition to endemicy? What are the when are the restrictions lifted, and what long-term measures do we keep, if any, when we reach endemicy? The answers were simple when we thought we could vaccinate our way to herd immunity, but vaccinations in the U.S. have plateaued. The Delta variant and waning immunity against transmission means that herd immunity may well be impossible, even if every single American gets a shot. So, when COVID-related restrictions came back with the Delta wave, we no longer had an obvious off-ramp to return to normal. Are we still trying to get a certain percentage of people vaccinated? Are we waiting until all kids are eligible, or for the hospitalizations to fall and stay steady? The path ahead is just not unclear. It's non-existent. We're meandering around the woods because we don't know where to go. Oh, poor Sarah. What is clear, however, is that case numbers, the metric that has guided us for much of the pandemic thinking and still underlies the CDC's indoor masking recommendation for vaccinated people, are becoming less and less useful. So, if not cases, then what? Quote, we need to come to some sort of an agreement as to what it is we're trying to prevent, says Celine Grounder, an infectious disease expert at New York University. Are we trying to prevent hospitalizations? Are we trying to prevent death? Are we trying to prevent transmission? Different goals would require prioritizing different strategies. The booster shot rollout has been roiled with confusion for this precise reason. The goal kept shifting. First, the Biden administration floated boosters for everyone to combat breakthroughs, and then the CDC advisory panel restricted them to the elderly and the immunocompromised most at risk for hospitalizations. Then the CDC director overruled the panel to include people with jobs that put them at risk of infection. As you can see, the federal government, I mean, they really have their stuff together. There's no confusion whatsoever. We're sleepwalking into policy because we're not setting goals, says Joseph Allen, a Harvard professor of public health. We will never get rid of COVID-19 down to absolute zero, and we need to define a level of risk that we can live with. And this goes on and on and on. She actually swerves into the truth. She swerves into the truth about halfway through the piece. To prevent hospitalizations from being overwhelmed, the key group that we need to vaccinate is really the elderly. Ta-da! The risk of hospitalizations from an unvaccinated person over 80 is 25 times for that of an unvaccinated person under 18. A Financial Times analyst of data in the UK found that vaccinating 25,000 children has the same effect on hospitalizations as vaccinating just 800 adults over 60. Ta-da! And the answer hits her upside the head, but she doesn't appear to realize that it did, and she just keeps on going on with endless blather for another two pages. I say this all the time, and the great Ronald Reagan used to say it. When it comes to liberals and it comes to their grand schemes on what they're going to do with the world, the more the plans fail, the more the planners plan. And that's exactly what we are living through in real time. The more the plans fail, the more the planners plan. And she even calls out, a couple of states in here as, you know, they're highly vaccinated and they're really doing the right thing. The U.S. has too many unvaccinated elderly people. Or rather, parts of the U.S. do. States such as Vermont and Hawaii have done really well. So then I run over to the New York Times website and I say, huh, let's take a look and see what she's talking about. So I look at Vermont. Yeah, they are highly vaccinated. And over the last 14 days, their case count has gone up 40%. Oh, Sarah, somebody paid you money to write 2,100 words when really you didn't need any of them. All you had to do was go look at the Great Barrington Declaration to know exactly what to do. Oh, liberals, they can't get out of their own way. And that brings us to one of the more enjoyable sections, for me anyway, of the show, the woke word of the day. Ah, woke word of the day. Hi, I'm your beta male, and I'm here to read you the woke word of the day. The woke word of the day is anti-racism. The act of judging everyone by skin color in order to defeat racism. This has been your woke word of the day. And that's going to do it for me, folks. Thank you for joining me today, Tuesday, November 9th. I really do appreciate you being here. Please spread the word. Spread this podcast far and wide, if you would. I would appreciate that. Share it with your friends. Share it with people who know things. Share it with people who don't know anything, who stand their whole day outside talking to trees. Anybody can use more information, and I'm certainly happy to be around to give some out. So please do that for me.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Come on. Come on.
Come on, man.
How about this one?
We choose truth over facts.
How about this one?
I got a lot of, hairy legs that turn, that turn blonde in the sun.
President of the United States, everybody.
Kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down.
Yeah.
So it was
hail to the chief.
Watch the hair come back up again. They look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
You are a sad, strange little man.
This is great.
So anyway, share the podcast with your friends. Share it with the informed, the uninformed. Check me out on the socials, Twitter and Instagram at Ritz Report. Email me notes of adoration and love or pure hatred to ritz@ritzreport.com. And I will be back here. Oh, and check out my locals page. It's not much, little section 80 right now, but we're getting there. I'm gonna do some more stuff. I'm got some clever ideas of stuff I'd like to put up there. But please go check it out. And you don't have to give me any money, but if you feel like, you know, putting a little tip in the tip jar, it is much appreciated. So I will be back on Thursday. And thank you for joining me today. And enjoy your week until Thursday. But please be back here then. Adios.